time when something's not working right, and every entertainer, every singer has faced that, anybody giving a speech has faced that, amen? And to continue is what you're supposed to do, and to continue in your best. Give Gene a nice hand for that. To not be able to do what you want the way you want can be so distracting, amen? And yet she stood tall and she sang a great song. Hallelujah. Let's read together.
I have the right one now.
Thank you.
My fault.
Hallelujah. We're going to read from Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Hallelujah. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. Yes, you have. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made. Let everybody rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Don't be quiet this morning. Praise God. We're becoming a family, and when you become a family, when you look to the right or to the left and somebody's not there, you start to wonder, you pray about them, is something wrong, is something right? And this is when the family really comes together, when you call that person, when you talk to that person, when you encourage that brother or sister, amen? Because you don't get that in a lot of places. You get so busy, places get so busy that they forget to call their brothers and sisters. And you never know what somebody's going through. You look around, everybody here, they're all smiling, everything is good, and you never know what they're going through, amen? You never know what problems they have, you never know what needs they have. So you always should keep those in prayer that aren't here, amen? So much in your heart, say, where are they today? Are they all right? I'm going to pray for them. My wife and I touched people in this church just recently by being that kind of family, amen? And it was to our surprise that they were surprised that the church actually did that. And I want to encourage each and every one of you. We have wonderful praise warriors in this church, amen? We have wonderful people who love each other. I encourage you to say, hey, we're so-and-so. Let's call so-and-so up. You do it on your own. Take a second. You want to talk to us first. But don't be afraid to call a brother and sister and say, hey, we missed you last week. Amen. We missed Deacon Chuck last week, did we not? We missed his presence here. Now, and that's, you know, we don't have to know why. And it doesn't have to be a bad reason why somebody's not. You know what I'm saying? But I want you to get to where you miss your brothers and your sisters. Amen? You understand that? And it's so important to be together, to bond together. That's why we have the coffee socials downstairs. So we can kind of bond together and enjoy each other in church. Amen? Hallelujah. And that'd be a great testimony between you and God. When you pray for somebody and then they come to church the following week with a smile and they say to you, thank you for calling me. Thank you for thinking of me. I'm so surprised that you took 5 minutes out of your day to call me up and say, hey, we missed you last week. We encourage you to come, amen? Because no matter what, we're all going through things. How many are going through something today? I know I am. We're all going through things. And the only way to be stronger is we stay stronger as a family, amen? After the week, I'm saying, who's going to come? Who's going to hear this message? Is this message going to move somebody? That's my prayer. Am I going to say something this week to bring people closer to God, amen? And I know that when we made those phone calls a couple of weeks ago, and you had no idea, and you don't need to know, but you had no idea what... And we made these phone calls, and then we saw people walking back into this church. We knew that God was listening, amen? It's not what we say, and trust me, it won't be what you say. When you call somebody who hadn't been to church a couple of weeks, it won't be what you say. It's the fact that you took the time to do it, amen? That people will say, you know, I really need to be back there. I really can't miss. You know what this happens with church? It seems like sometimes it's the first thing that people give up. Amen? You know, things are going well, you know, I won't go to church. I got other things to do. And it's God that they give. Now, God is blessing. God wants to bless you, wants to make you stronger, to face every step in life, to bless you. And it's easy because God loves you so much that if you don't come to church, he doesn't get mad at you. Amen? Let me tell you, there's nothing in the Bible about a mortal sin going to hell if you don't go to church on Sunday. Sunday. I'm sorry, I'm just telling you, there's nothing in this book that says that, okay? You want it, we can discuss it, but he's not mad at you. He knows that your heart would be happier if you came to church, amen? He knows if you get heard this word and get fed the word of God, he knows that you'll be stronger, amen? It's up to us. We are the body. It's up to us to remember and lift each other up in Christ, amen? And tell somebody, we miss you. Yes, Brother Frank. Until 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, but you know what? I do it because I love God, I love you, and I love Jesus, and it's a sacrifice sometimes. It's a sacrifice to get up on a Sunday morning, but we got to stand together. People give up God first, even when God answers prayers. When people see God answering the prayer, they can say, you know what? I'm not going to go this weekend. Let me tell you, that is the easiest thing to do. You don't go to church this Sunday, right, Dave? You'll tell me I'm right. You don't go to church this Sunday, and then next Sunday you say, you know, I'll take one more Sunday off. And the next thing you know, the week after that, you're planning a picnic on Sunday. And then the week after that, you say, you know, I'm going away. And then all of a sudden, the month passed, and you forgot how to go to church. Amen? You forgot why you were going to church. You forgot that God was answering you. You forgot that you had a prayer up there, and he was about ready to answer it. And you forgot that. Amen? Somehow, we know why. It's just natural. And sometimes it's easier to give up church than give up watching the Yankees on TV or give up something else, going on a picnic. It's just easier to miss church. Amen? And we don't judge one another. We love each other. Amen? And when you're not here, it doesn't matter. We just miss you. But I'm telling you, when you call somebody that's not here, it's not what you say that's going to matter. We found that out. It's the fact that you took the time to call, amen? People want that. Frank needed that this week. Valerie's heart. She is such a praise warrior and worshiper that her praise and stuff got Frank out of bed. Got him away from the things and the stuff. Because when you stay in bed and all you're going to think about is up here, and you're going to think about your pain and everything else around you. See, now she got him out. She got him out to see the blue sky, to see the flowers growing. She got him out to where something really good can happen for him. Amen? Let's be together. Let's be that family. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to call somebody. A lot to be thankful for. You know, and I know we all have prayers, and we all have needs. Like I said, we don't know everybody's needs, but trust me, we're all going through different things. And we need God's blessing. We need to pray for one another. And by praying for one another, sometimes that means calling somebody and saying, hi, we miss you. Maybe going to visit somebody. Just being a brother and sister with those. That's what church is about. That's what this building is about. That's what Jesus is about. Becoming a family together. Amen? Gene coming back from Florida, I saw Bob. He walked in. He looked wonderful, Gene. He looked wonderful. Hallelujah. It's just good to see family back. Hallelujah. So we need just to pray. Pray for those that aren't here. Pray for the needs of the church. Talk to God. Thank him. Thank him for what he did for you yesterday. What he did for you this morning. So what did he do for me this morning? He woke you up. Amen? Hallelujah. He woke you up. You have a lot to be thankful for today. What is Palm Sunday? We're going to read about that today. It's not, but it's not a big, how do I say it, David? It's just not, Palm Sunday is something that we call it, amen? Something in the Bible that we read and we decided to call this Palm Sunday. This is actually the start of Jesus' last week on earth. This is the start. This is the triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. that Jesus makes. It's in the Bible. We're going to read about it. He's going to come in, and I'm going to read from you. Right now I'm going to read, stay with me, because you're going to hear this again and again. I'm going to read from Zechariah. This is 500 years before Jesus. So this is the year 1514. Is that right there? 2014. Yeah. No, I mean now. It's 500 years from now. This is what so I want you to understand as I read this, this is from Zechariah, 500 years before Jesus does this, that the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders all knew this. It's in the Bible. I'm going to read it to you. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. It may have been offensive. That's the thing you got to remember. As I read it again, I'm going to read it again. This is just what it says in the Old Testament. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. He is a just man and he brings salvation. Lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. That sounds crazy. That PA sounds awful. Hang on there, old folks. Any better? Is that okay? Hallelujah. This is the last week Jesus is alive on earth. Sunday he enters Jerusalem. Monday he withers the fig tree. He cleanses the temple. Tuesday is his last day teaching in the temple. Wednesday, this is what God does on Wednesday. Listen to this now, all you guys, ladies. This is what he does on Wednesday. Nothing. According to the Bible, he rests on Wednesday. God took a break on Wednesday. Thursday is the Last Supper. Friday, the trial and the crucifixion. And Sunday is the resurrection. This is the last week that Jesus spends with us. Hallelujah. I'm going to read from four Gospels. There's differences in the Gospels. If there's a difference, does it mean that it's wrong? Does it mean it's wrong? If somebody says something, one of the guys writes something that the other guy didn't write, is he wrong or did he just add something that was omitted? Amen? Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to do this maybe next week or the week after. I want to say, I need four people. I need four volunteers. And what I'm going to do is give you a paper and a pencil, and I want you to write that day everything that you see during church on that Sunday. I want you to write. Don't look at anybody. Just you write down what you see, and I'll read it the following week, and I guarantee you there'll be things on there that one person wrote that the other person didn't write. Amen? That's what we're going to learn today. And that's what makes the gospel for me even truer. If all four gospels were like a copy of each other, you said, well, they just, what was that? They just copied one another. Somebody somewhere wrote the Bible and he just, Matthew said this, Luke said this, Mark said this, and John said that. Amen? Didn't happen that way. Amen? They're writing different because they saw different things. And that's where you learn. The knowledge comes from listening and reading. Amen? As we read, you'll see the differences, small that may be, but you'll learn more and you'll understand more. Amen? You'll just see that this book is real, that these writers were real. They weren't talking to one, hey, what did you say? What did you get for that answer? And they checked it. They didn't do that at all. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus said to two disciples, saying to them, listen to what he says, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I just read that from Zacharias. Amen? Are you with me? So the disciples went, and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set them on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all of those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame, listen to this, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, Do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, Yes, have you not read, Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. These young children were praising him, amen, perfectly from their hearts, amen. Just like your little boy or little girl would love you, amen. Just like your child loves you. They were praising Jesus. There was no other thought in them as a little child but to praise him. Amen? Are you with me? Now, I want you to understand something here before. I want to read this to you again. He went into the temple and drove out all of those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers. That doesn't mean that churches are not allowed to sell things. Amen? St. Mary's is my wife. That's where I grew up. Amen? If they sell flowers, if they sell things, that's a beautiful thing. Amen? There's nothing wrong with the church selling things to their people. Amen? And helping the church. What was happening here? Well, these people were selling things and taking the money and putting it in their pocket. And the chief priests and the elders of these churches, they were synagogues. They were putting money in their pocket. Jesus knew that. Amen? They weren't selling flowers to help benefit the church. They weren't selling books to help benefit the ministry. Amen? They were money changers. They were stealing money. Amen? They were there to make a profit, not to do anything for the church. Amen? They were there for them. So when you see church having bingo and you see that, you know that's the church activities helping the ministry. Amen? Don't judge them. Don't even think anything like that. And you just pray, Lord, I hope there's nobody taking some money from that. Amen? It's like that in the world. It's like that in everything that you see, no matter what you have. You have to understand not to judge them, not to look at that and say, well, they're selling flowers in church. That's a good thing. Amen? If you're selling flowers and those folks are getting them, they're blessed, and they bring those flowers to their grandmother and she's happy, isn't everybody blessed? Hallelujah. I just wanted to read that. He said, you know, it is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Jesus knew. Jesus knew. Hallelujah. Now, that was Matthew. That was Matthew. He wrote that, and it's all good. It's all right. You say, but did you hear anything about palms there? Anybody, when I was reading, did you hear anything about it? They said leafy plants. Amen? So if you just had a Bible at home that just had the book of Matthew, and you said Palm Sunday, you say, what are you talking about? I didn't read anything about palms. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Mark. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethpage in Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find, now listen to this, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Matthew didn't tell us that, did he? Why do you think it was important that colt nobody had sat on? Do you understand how clean that animal was? That was a virgin animal that nobody had sat on. Remember first fruits. Remember Abel and Cain. Amen? When Abel gave his offering of the animals, he gave the firstborn. He gave the purest born. Amen? He didn't have a few for himself. He didn't need a couple. He gave Jesus the first fruit. What Abel did was give fruit from his yard, but he didn't give the first of the fruit. Amen? He ate some, he gave some away, and he brought Jesus an offering. Jesus is the lamb that was slain, the pure lamb, amen? So it's only right that that colt that he sat on, the Bible tells us nobody ever sat on it before. But if you didn't have the book of Mark, you wouldn't know that. And he said, loose it and bring it to me. And he said, if anybody says to you, why are you doing this? Just say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it there. So they went their way and found the colt tied to the door outside the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing loosening that colt? First of all, we don't hear anything about a donkey. And he's saying, some of those who stood there said that. And they spoke to him just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. That's according to the book of Mark. Mark mentions a colt that nobody ever sat on before. Amen. Does Mark mention the donkey? Why do you think that? Because Mark, when Mark wrote this, he said the donkey had no importance at all. There was no importance. Jesus didn't ride on the donkey, did he? He rode on the what? He rode on the colt that nobody else ever sat on. He was the first one to sit on that. So Mark's thinking, I don't need to write that. This is what I wrote. So if you had the book of Mark and you didn't have Matthew, you know that he rode on a colt, but you don't know about the donkey. But you do know that the colt was an animal that nobody ever rode on. But you still don't know about what? Thank you very much. You guys are with me. I love this. It's a great job. Now this one, I have to admit, I said something before. This one is my favorite for what one line that Luke tells us that we didn't hear in the other two. But I'm going to start. Here we go. This is Luke. Hallelujah. When he had said this, he went ahead to going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near the Bethpage in Bethany at the mountain of Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, and when you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Remember Luke. He is a man of facts. Luke is a doctor. He is a man of facts. When he writes something, he writes the facts. Remember that, Jeb, what was that? Only the facts, ma'am. Remember that cop show? Just the facts, ma'am. Luke is a doctor. Was it Adam 12? No, it wasn't Adam 12. Who was that? Dragnet. Thank you very much. Only the facts, ma'am. Luke was a doctor. He was a brilliant man, and he wrote facts. He won the facts. Hallelujah. He says, go into the village opposite you. When you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. And he said, loose it. Jesus said, loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosening it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent with their way and found it just as he said to them. But as they were loosening the colt, listen to this. The owners of it said to them, why are you loosening the colt? Luke is a man of what? Facts. Now you just learned something that you didn't learn in Matthew and Mark. They weren't people just standing there. Who did he say that was? The owners of the colt. See, Luke is talking about, you're learning something. See, that's why you want to read these Gospels. That's why you want to enjoy learning. The owners of it said to them, why are you losing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus. And they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as they went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God. Let me read that again. I love this. This is my favorite part. Then as he was drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude, how many? Of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory to the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to Jesus and from the crowd and said, teacher, rebuke your disciples. What was he saying? Teacher, tell these people to be quiet. Listen. But he answered and said to them, Jesus said, I tell you, that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.
Jesus. Jesus telling the Pharisees, telling the people, said, listen, I'm coming in for a reason now. This is my triumphant entrance. I'm coming here as it's written in the Bible. And he's saying, if these people stop praising me, and you see these rocks over here, they're going to start yelling. They're going to start screaming. They're going to start praising me. And I read that, and even now I just get a chill in my arm. My arm just feel it. And I have a song that I wrote many years ago that said, if we don't start praising him, then the walls are going to cry out. Amen. And I say, I don't want the walls to praise him. Amen. I don't want the rocks and the stones to praise him. I want to praise him. Amen. Especially when I come in his house. I want to praise him in his house. I want him to hear the praises. I don't want the doors to praise him. I want to be the one to pray. I want to be right with God. I want Jesus to know that I love him. You know, if you don't want to walk through Big Y or Stop and Shop praising him, I understand that. You got to use wisdom. You don't walk up to everybody in there and say, God bless you, Jesus loves you. You don't do that. But in his house especially, should be a house filled with praise. Amen? When I read that many years ago, that is one of my favorite scriptures. I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. But Luke, Mr. Luke, the fax man, you left out something. What did he leave out? Thank you very much. One more thing before I get to John. The Pharisees, the chief elder, the chief priest. When I say chief priest, let me tell you something. I don't mean Catholics. There was no Catholic church then, okay? We're not attacking any denomination. Back then there wasn't. There were the Jewish people, and they called them the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. Amen? The scribes were the ones who copied word for word the Bible. We're not talking about Catholics. Amen? We got to stop. Those were our brothers and sisters up there. Amen? We love them. They love us. I was raised up there. I had to go to confession, and they scared the heck out of me. But they knew. They knew the Bible. Amen? They knew the Bible. They knew what Zechariah said. I read it to you before. Amen? So they're looking at this guy writing in on a colt that what? Nobody else had ever what? He writing in on there, and they're throwing their clothes, and so far all we know is leafy branches. And they're praising him. They know that that's in the Bible. They know it, so they're saying, what's he doing, mocking our God? They're saying he's mocking the Bible. He's mocking the Old Testament. So the Bible says that they were indignant to the things that he did. And when they were praising him, the Pharisees said, tell him to be quiet. They felt insulted, amen? They were so blind in what they believed that they didn't see God riding on the colt, amen? We got to be careful never to get to that point. Hallelujah. To think we know that we're so blind to see the good. Amen. And you know what's hard? If you've lived half your life or most of your life and you didn't believe in the Bible and you didn't believe Jesus and you thought the Bible was foolish, it's very hard to wake up one day and say, you know, I was wrong. I must have been wrong. Because now I'm learning and I love it and I want to learn more and I believe it. And you say, it's hard to admit that you're wrong. These people had a problem. They couldn't admit. It was hard. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And now, can I get a drum roll, please? All right. Then, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was and had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him supper, and Martha served. And Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table. You remember, if you read the Bible, you know that he raised Lazarus from the dead, called him right out of the tomb. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed his feet of Jesus with this oil, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, listen to this, but because he was a thief and he had the money box and he used to take what was put in it. That's Judas. Y'all remember who Judas is? He was upset about the oil being given away because he was the one in charge of the money. And as long as he carried the money, he was able to use it as he wished. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. The next day, a great multitude that had come out to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Are you ready? Drum roll. The next day, a great multitude that come out to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna. Hallelujah. Palm trees. Thank you, Lord. I thought they'd be more excited about that one, Joanne. Palm trees. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anybody hears my words, anyone hears my words and does not believe, listen to what he says, I do not judge them. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as his Father has told me, so I speak. He did not come to judge the world, amen? He came to love us. He does not go through this week for except one reason, because he loves us, amen? He's going to pay the price. He knows what he's facing. He knows what's ahead. He knows when he's coming into Jerusalem. It's not the first time he was ever in Jerusalem. He'd been there many times before, teaching and stuff, but this is the time he came in knowing this was why he was there. Now the purpose for him was coming. He knew the cross. He knew the nails. He knew the pain. He knew the separation from his Father. Yet here he comes. Amen? Here he comes. And in his entrance, they lay palm trees, branches, and their clothes in front of him. We, as Christians, call this day Palm Sunday. You could call it Jacket Sunday. You could call it Tunic Sunday. We don't get caught up in the palms, amen? I want, my mama had them, I can't wait to get those palms and put them in my house, because when I see palms, to me it's a symbol of God, amen? Because it's in the Bible. But I don't get caught up in the palms. I get caught up in Jesus, amen? Give him praise and glory this morning, brothers and sisters. Next week's the resurrection, and we're going to explain about what being reborn is all about, amen? Next week is our victory party. You got to call people and say, next Sunday, we win. Hallelujah.
And unless you want to wait until the end of church, Chuck, and just as they come out, go ahead and pass them out. Yeah, let's do that, because we're running a few minutes late, and not that I mind ever going late, because when I'm reading God and studying God, I get more. And I just want to say that I didn't do this sermon today to make you think there was anything less important about the palms. I just wanted you to have more knowledge. I think it's exciting when you read the four Gospels and you see something a little different and you learn something from each one, saying, "But this is cool. These guys weren't really copying from one another." And I learned that the colt was a pure colt nobody ever sat on. And I know that they put their clothes in leafy branches. And I thank John for telling me that it was palms. Amen? So I want you to know that it's not the palms that we're celebrating. Amen? It's Jesus. Amen? And I want you to know that so that you have wisdom and knowledge when somebody comes to talk to you about it. Hallelujah.